Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. We'll start with the commercial news. Our first story is from the front page, and it's entitled Spotlight on Alumni. Covington Group seeks nominees for awards. And this is by Mary Wyckoff. Some people attending basketball games at Covington High School walk past the Wall of Fame without stopping to appreciate the honorees. Harry Hoagland hopes to change that by making more people aware of the Wall of Fame, which salutes outstanding graduates, and also the Wall of Honor, which recognizes exceptional students. 11 adults have been selected for the Wall of Fame since it was started by Hoagland in 2017. Now nominations are being sought for this year's awards. The Covington Alumni Association is seeking names of Covington High School graduates who have been successful in their field or made a significant contribution in some way. The nominees must be Covington High alumni of 20 years or more. Deadline to submit names is March 15th. Two people will be selected and honored at a banquet on June 6th. It's been well received, Hoagland, class of 1953, said of the Wall of Fame. We'd like the general public to be aware of it. Hoagland said the wall promotes pride in the school and community and provides positive role models for students focusing on the success and accomplishments of Covington High graduates. The southeast wall in the high school lobby has two parts. The Wall of Fame honors alumni inductees. The Wall of Honor lists top students from each graduating class, starting in 1970, and including the current year's valedictorian, Tyson Klein, and salutatorian, Sierra Jean Fletcher. Names of previous honorees are engraved on aluminum panels made by TriGuard, and the images of current honorees are displayed on plaques. A wall-mounted interactive touchscreen kiosk is available so visitors can view the alumni's biographies. For example, people will learn that Bob Lyons designed and developed the first barcode printer, which shoppers come into contact with every day. Former valedictorians and salutatorians' biographies will be available as well at a later time. High school principal Allison Carfault said of the wall, "I think it's a real honor for people in our community and a way to spotlight people who have done some wonderful things." Carfault, a graduate of the school, said she's seen students of all ages stop to look at the names on the wall. Hoagland added, "That's the frosting on the cake. There's a lot of foot traffic past the wall on basketball nights, and he hopes people will take a moment to reflect on it." Five alumni were inducted in the first year, 2017. And they were Georgianne Bodine Ford, class of 1943, Dr. Clarence Davin, class of 1948, Dr. Leonard R. Orr II, class of 1971, General David M. Shoup, class of 1921, and Thomas Charles Sidwell Bennett, class of 1954. Three were inducted in 2018, William or Bill Doan of Fort Myers, Florida, and the late Bob Lyons, both class of 1948, and F. Dale Grubb of Covington, class of 1967. Three were inducted in 2019. William J. Kieran of Mount Dora, Florida, class of 1958, Robert B. Shelby of Covington, class of 1947, and the late U.S. Representative John T. Myers, class of 1945. Two will be selected this year, and then two each year hereafter. Out of more than 100 graduating classes, people have made some strong nominations for the Wall of Fame in the past, Hoagland said. It's not a popularity contest, he said, explaining that the nominees must have performed a service to the community and humanity. Candidates who no longer live in the community must have distinguished themselves with excellence nationally or internationally within a particular field or in service to humanity. Candidates who remained in the area must have distinguished themselves within a particular field or service to the community, or have been actively involved in the local community and later moved away. Nominations will be reviewed by a 5-member anonymous committee. A new committee is selected each year. Hoagland is not involved in the selection process. Hoagland said he'd like to have at least a dozen nominations. People will be asked to list the nominee's year of graduation, high school awards, statistics, records, employment, college of military, education, memberships, honors, accomplishments, and references. Referring to the committee, he said, in the past, they've done a great job of selecting candidates. Hoagland always tells the committee, this is one of the toughest jobs you'll ever have. You have some great candidates. Nomination forms are available at the Covington High School office from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday. Forms are also available at these Covington sites: Dale's Barbershop, Klingon's Auction and Real Estate, Covington Community Foundation, and three banks: Fountain Trust, Old National, and Center Bank. Forms can be mailed to P.O. Box 161, Covington, Indiana, 47932. Check out the Covington High School Association Facebook. If you don't have a computer, call Harry Hoagland to make arrangements to get a nomination form, and he can be reached at 217-497-1180 or at 765-793-7315. And it's a big Covington news day. We have another story from the front page related to Covington. This is entitled New Businesses to Open in Covington. This is also by Mary Wyckoff. Covington, Indiana. Covington is making some changes while maintaining its small town feel. A McDonald's restaurant and a fitness center will open this year, and the new municipal building is almost completed. Don and Deanna Witzel, owner and operators of the McDonald's restaurants in Vermilion County in Illinois, have announced that their seventh business will open in Covington. The new McDonald's will be located at Pearl and 3rd Streets, just west of Casey's General Stores. Construction will begin in August with a special grand opening planned in late November or early December. The restaurant will feature a double drive-through and the latest technology available for customers inside the lobby and dining areas. Covington Mayor Brad Crane is pleased about the new opportunities that will come with the first McDonald's in the city. I think it's great, he said Monday. I'm real excited. They will bring 60 new jobs and give people a restaurant with expanded hours and a drive-up. This will be convenient for people who are looking for food after ball games, he said. I'm glad Donna and Deanna Witzel were selected as the franchisee. It will be great to work with them on this endeavor, Crane added. Co-owner Deanna Witzel said, we are thrilled to be joining the Covington community. We can't wait for our first McPack the Place night at a Trojan basketball game. The location within town, rather than off Interstate 74, will be convenient for residents, especially with the park and the high school nearby, Witzel said. We prefer to be in town, she added. It allows us to better serve the community and to be that neighborhood McDonald's. McDonald's has three other restaurants off I-74, and Witzel said they didn't want to impact those three. Also in Covington, construction will start soon on a new Max Fitness and Performance Center, owned by Brandon Ricketts and Brad Short, in the 500 block of 4th Street. The 7,500-square-foot building is expected to open this summer. In addition, a new brick and stone city building is nearing completion at Washington and 4th Streets. City employees and the police department should be in the new building before March. It replaces the current building on 2nd Street. Crane said the additions are a boost to the town while maintaining the small-town atmosphere. On our next story is entitled DACC Brings in Birds of Prey. And this is by Carol Rome. Danville. Eagle Day, a community favorite, will return this week to Danville Area Community College. The program, presented by the Office of Wildlife Learning World Bird Sanctuary of St. Louis, will be offered twice on Wednesday at 9 a.m. and again at 12:30 p.m. in the Mary Miller Gymnasium on DACC's campus. The free event, which is co-sponsored by the Middle Fork Audubon Society, has come to roost for the last 20 years at DACC. The event is now biennial, which means it takes place every other year. The program showcases birds of prey, such as the peregrine falcon, and nocturnal birds, such as screech, barn, and great horned owls. We never know what types of birds they will bring, but they guarantee there will be a bald eagle, said Kathy Sturgeon, Dean of the Math, Science, and Health Professions Division. Handlers allow the birds to fly free over the heads of audience members to demonstrate the inherent grace and agility of the display birds. The highlight of the event is the appearance of the national symbol, the bald eagle, which is a crowd pleaser. The informative program is open to the public and appeals to all ages. We pull in about 200, including DACC students and employees and community members, Sturgeon said. It's a popular event. Approximately 1,145 third and fourth graders from around Vermilion County have responded to invitations to attend this year's event. This will be our largest student turnout, Sturgeon said. This is the normal number of schools we invite. It's just that our calendar worked out this time. Some of the schools that were invited include Armstrong Potomac, Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, Covington Christian, Covington Elementary, Danville Christian Academy, First Baptist, North Vermilion Elementary, Oakwood Elementary, Judith Jacoma in Westville, Salt Fork North and South, and Edison Elementary, Garfield Elementary, Mead Park Elementary, Northeast Magnet, and Schlarman Academy, all in Danville. Community members are asked to wait at the gymnasium doors if they arrive after the show has started already, and a greeter will let them enter. We don't want them coming in and out while the birds are flying. It's for the safety of the birds, Sturgeon said. Several years ago, an American kestrel that was making its debut at the DACC show got spooked and decided to roost in the rafters of the Mary Miller Gymnasium after getting away from its handlers during an earlier show. The handlers ended up using a mouse to coax the bird to a lower ledge, and then it used a butterfly net to capture it. It took several hours to catch it. Sturgeon said her personal favorite from among the birds is the African vulture. "He's just the coolest looking dude," she said. "He has fuzzy feathers on his head, and it's interesting how they protect themselves and cool themselves. For as ugly as he is, God put him together well," she added. A favorite experience from a past show was when an African raven, which is known as the recycling bird, got up close to Sturgeon. "I allowed him to land on me and pick up a pop can, and then he took it back to the recycling bin," she recalled. The World Bird Sanctuary, located near St. Louis, has a captive breeding program of endangered birds. The sanctuary rehabilitates injured birds, conducts many avian field studies, and educates more than 2.5 million people across the country on bird characteristics, behaviors, and habitats. And we also have the following staff report from the Commercial News entitled "AmBucks Seeks Nominees." The Danville chapter of AmBucks is accepting nominations for its 87th annual First Citizen Award. The award is given to a Danville area man or woman who has contributed significantly to the betterment of the community through a single or multiple projects, personally or professionally, according to an AmBucks press release. Mail nominations to AmBucks First Citizen, care of Natalia Bourne, P.O. Box 1095, Danville, Illinois, 61834, or email to msnssb14@gmail.com. The deadline for nominations is February 29, 2020. The most recent recipients have included Dick Shockey, Sue Richter, Lori Lyons, and Fred Faltish. I'm sorry, it's Fallstitch, Mary Thompson, and Rose Gates. AMBUCS is a national charitable club dedicated to inspiring mobility for people with disabilities. AMBUCS local projects include a summer camp, Christmas breakfast, baseball league for children with disabilities, dances for adults with disabilities, as well as providing more than $10,000 in scholarships for students studying in the therapy and special education fields. AMBUCS has partnered with the city to build AMBUCS Playground for everyone in Winter Park, AMBUCS Independence Playground in Lincoln Park, and AMBUCS Spray Ground for everyone at the Danville Municipal Pool at Garfield Park. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, February 4th. And the first is for Linda Reed. Linda M. Reed, 76, of rural Covington, Indiana, died at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, February 1st, 2020, at home, having been seriously ill for 2 months. A visitation will be from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, February 7th, at West Liberty Church of Christ. Memorial services will be at 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday, with Pastor Kurt Flora officiating. Cremation was chosen with private burial in Lower Mound Cemetery. Memorials can be given to West Liberty Church of Christ. Mary Alice Falconio. Mary Alice Falconio, formerly Reed, of Danville, Illinois, passed peacefully February 2nd, 2020. A mass of Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, February 6th, at Holy Family Church in Danville. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. until the time of service at the church. Private burial will be with her husband at Danville National Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Hospice of Southern Illinois or Schlarman High School, Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory of Tilton, and Zirin Funeral Home of Carlisle, Illinois, are assisting the family. Susan Modglin. Susan K. Modglin, 62, of Danville, passed away Friday, January 31st, 2020, peacefully, after a long struggle with illness and surrounded by her family at OSF Sacred Heart Hospital in Danville. A celebration of Susan's life will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 4th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, with Ramey Gordon officiating. Visitation will be on Monday, February 3rd, from 4 to 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home. Evelyn R. Woodard. Evelyn Woodard, 90, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away peacefully January 31st, 2020, at home, surrounded by family. Private family services are to be held at a later date. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Elsie Greer. Elsie C. Greer, 88, of Fairmount, passed away at 4:55 p.m. Friday, January 31st, 2020, at Clark Lindsay Meadowbrook in Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon on Friday, February 7th, at New Life Church of Faith in Homer, with Pastor C.W. Greer and Pastor Thomas W. Miller of the Danville New Life Church of Faith officiating. Burial will be in Davis Cemetery, east of Homer. A visitation is from 10 a.m. until the time of service on Friday at the church. Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling the arrangements. Memorials to the donor's choice. Lloyd Wesley Champlain. Lloyd Wesley Champlain, 72, of Danville, passed away at 5:15 p.m. on Friday, January 31, 2020, at Carroll Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life service will be held on Friday, February 7, 2020, at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Bill Carpenter will officiate. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. A visitation will be held Thursday, February 6, 2020, from 4 to 8 p.m. and 1 hour prior to the funeral services at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Lloyd's memory to Faith Church of Christ, the American Cancer Society, or the Fund for Service Dogs for Military Personnel Suffering from PTSD. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We'll turn now to the Rediscover Danville column from the News Gazette. And today's article is entitled Wine, Drama, and Song. This is by Carol Nichols. This weekend, head to Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Fairmount and enjoy a full weekend of fun. Friday at 6:30 p.m. is Friday Tunes with Aaron Kelly, a singer-songwriter from Illinois, bringing songs meant to ease a burden and bring a smile. Chill out after a busy week enjoying tunes and great wine by Sleepy Creek. On Saturday and Sunday evening, enjoy the Dark Horse Theater Company production of Love Letters, a play by A.R. Gurney. Follow the life and love of a couple whose friendship grew stronger over the years through correspondence, starting with birthday party thank you notes. The performance will be held in the winery tasting room, with doors open and cocktails starting at 7 p.m. on Saturday and 6 p.m. on Sunday. Performances begin at 8 p.m. on Friday and 7 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are $15 per person, drinks not included. Every Sunday from noon to 6 p.m., stop in at Sleepy Creek's Winery, Mary Bar, that uses their one-of-a-kind tomato and jalapeno wine with all the standard fixings to make a great Bloody Mary, from 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Enjoy a glass of wine and a performance by Brett Stafford Smith, who has performed at the Sutler, Tootsie's, Honky Tonk Central, Crazy Town, Rippy's, The Listening Room, Whiskey Jam at Winer's, Tin Roof, and many private events. Sleepy Creek Vineyards is Vermilion County's only vineyard, winery, and tasting room. They pride themselves on a friendly, laid-back atmosphere with a focus on good wine, fun events, beautiful weddings, and a first-class accommodations in their B&W. What is a B&W, you ask? Instead of breakfast, enjoy a bottle of wine and cook your own breakfast in the spacious vacation rental above a working winery and tasting room. Whether you are looking for a getaway for you and a loved one, or a spot to gather family, capacity is 10 people, Sleepy Creek's B&W is a great option to take a break from the winter doldrums. Of course, they also produce wines, about 35,000 bottles each year, with varieties like light-bodied, semi-dry, white, dreamer, the aromatic citrusy semi-sweet white Sourpuss, the dry red Bullheaded, and Three Amigos grape juice with a kick, to name a few. For more information about Sleepy Creek Vineyards and their many events, see www.sleepycreekvineyards.com or follow their Facebook page. Relax and rediscover Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Vermilion County. And from the sports section today in the commercial news, we have an article titled Senior's Moment by Greg Flint. Bismarck. It was senior night when Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin hosted Salt Fork in girls basketball, and as many of those events go, things started out a bit slowly. The host Blue Devils eventually would make a small run that would lead to a 49-32 win, but the play in the first quarter gave no indication of that outcome. BHRA took the lead 3-2, and it would not be until the 2-minute 43-second mark that anyone would score again. Kaylee Davis of the Storm put her team on top with a layup, but a pass from Riley Cash to Sophia Rome led to a matching layup. Cash then scored a jumper for the Blue Devils, but Trey from Carson Todd of Salt Fork just before the horn tied the game at 7-7 going into the second quarter. "I didn't feel we were sharp in that first quarter," Mike Stevens, the BHRA head coach, said. "I think it was partly because it was senior night, but we eventually started to set and come off screens to get going." Period 2 started with an exchange of baskets for a 9-9 score, but then BHRA scored 3 buckets in a row to go up 15-9. Salt Fork came right back with a short jumper from Davis and an inbounds layup from Mackenzie Russell, the latter converting a 3-point play to trail 15-14 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the half. It was at that point that the game began to speed up, and the momentum shifted to the hosts. Sierra Bryant made a putback for the Blue Devils, and then after a layup by Davis, Emily Mydell hit a 3-pointer for BHRA that made it 20-16 at the half. After the intermission, the hosts picked up where they left off and ran off 8 points in a row to lead 28-16 with the less than 90 seconds gone in the third period. Brian Russell, the Salt Fork head coach, called a timeout, explaining, "They made a mini run, so I called a timeout to settle us down, and we were fine, but they had that lead." His team came back on the floor, attacked the basket, and drew a foul to head to the line. Todd made 1 of 2 free throws to stop the BHRA run, and then the teams began to trade baskets. Unfortunately for Salt Fork, one of the ensuing baskets was a tray by Mydell, and she added a layup right afterwards, but drew her fourth foul and headed to the bench with a score 35-19. After she came out, the remaining minute or so of the third period saw Emma Clapp make one of two free throws for the hosts, and Alexis Hetmansberger of the Storm made a jumper for a 36-21 score. As the fourth quarter started, Salt Fork began to close the gap, getting a 4-point play when Todd was fouled while hitting a shot from beyond the arc. Clapp missed the front end of a 1-and-1, and Russell chose to call a timeout for Salt Fork, one that would have repercussions later in the game. "After my miss, when they called a timeout, I heard my father, John," Clapp said. "I hadn't taken a breath before shooting, and he reminded me of that." The game resumed with 4 minutes and 26 seconds left, and Mydell returning to the floor. She immediately made her presence felt as she fed Cash for a layup and then made one of her own off a fast break. Cash then scored again for a 43-27 score with 2:37 left in the contest, and Salt Fork began to play the foul as soon as possible game. The person they elected to foul was Clapp, and the senior hit 4 free throws in a row before Russell made a 3-pointer and then came back to make 2 more to close out the 49-32 game. "You have to give credit to Clapp," Brian Russell said. "She hit those free throws at the end of the game to keep the lead." He closed by saying he was proud of the effort of his team, their defensive play, and then he finished with, "And our future looks bright." Clapp spoke about her role at the end, saying, "I'm not usually the one out there to be doing that, but I remembered to breathe and relax." She added that her team had struggled early, but they knew what they had to do and keep attacking. "It was senior night, and we weren't going to let Salt Fork come in here and get a win," Clapp explained. "That was our incentive all night. We knew if we worked hard enough, we could get it done." Stevens had compliments for the entire BHRA team, but gave special mention to Bryant for her play on both ends of the floor, Clapp for her offense, and Cash for hitting some big shots when the team needed her. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you today, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.